Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to the Juul Network. The Juul Network is a radio frequency of continuous streaming knowledge and wisdom, which promotes and sustains the activation of the present evolutionary process of immortality and the unfolding of the God Self within the evolving planetary society presently on planet Earth. The Juul Network is committed to teaching the sciences of life and the science of living. By cultivating the mind of a scientist, you will be able to extract the very best the current century has to offer. You are listening to the Balancing Program Show with your host, microbiologist, preventative medicine and hygiene physician, Dr. Juul Pookrum, MD. Join Dr. Juul each Monday at 5 p.m.
Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to the Dr. Juul Balancing Show. I'm your host, Dr. Juul, and this show is being brought to you by the Juul Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, bringing you the sciences of life and living, on TJN, the Juul Network. So how was your weekend, everyone? I envision that you had a fabulous weekend. And if I hadn't had the chance to tell you, I want to let you know how much I love you and how much I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedules every day, all the things that you could be doing to just take this moment to just love yourself by giving yourself special little knowledge to improve your life, improve your body, improve your mind. This improves planet Earth. And I love you for that, and I love you for loving you enough to take this moment for this enlightenment. So many of you have written me such really nice letters and have told me how much you appreciate the information and how it's really helping you to change your life. And I just want to say you're very, very, very welcome. We love doing this. We know who you are, an incredible manifestation of the divine, of God, and you deserve the best under all circumstances because of who you are. So this is a dedication to you. I love you. Keep listening. Please write me, share with me, and most of all, see your way to the balancing symbol. See yourself on the balancing program. We have so many different opportunities for you to get on the program to do what? To make your brain whole. This is the biggie. You got that big raphae, what we call a longitudinal fissure down the middle of your brain. And only you, through your will, can literally make the brain whole. When you have a whole brain, oh my goodness, all the things that are available to you in consciousness and obviously mastery of self and this planet. So go for it. And we know the key that does that, that brings unity into all things, in proper proportion and in proper dimension. In this reality, it is geometry. How about that? So we're going to talk about sleep today. This is our day to talk about science articles. I thought it was very important we talk about that. We talk about brain health, what does it mean, et cetera. So let's talk about sleep. Let's hear what our sponsors have to say, and I'll be right back. And we're going to talk about sleep. Oh, don't forget. Hydration for the brain, your pad and pencil, because we always learn visually, auditorily, and kinesthetically simultaneously. Be right back.
Would you like to be smarter, more at peace in your life, less stressed? Are you searching for a greater spiritual connection? If so, what you need is access to the 90% of your brain that most of us don't even use. All of this and much more can be yours by enrolling in Dr. Juul's Balancing Program. Dr. Juul's Balancing Program is a revolutionary program utilizing sacred geometry to connect the logical left and creative right sides of the brain to work with what we call whole brain functionality. Many participants feel effects from day one and in no time, you can enjoy the physiological effects equal to 8 hours of meditation in as little as 15 minutes a day. Act now to start on this life-changing program and become the person you've always wanted to be. To learn more and sign up for Dr. Jewel's balancing program, please visit our website, www.thejewelnetwork.net. What are you waiting for? Make the move now.
Well, welcome. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Dr. Jewel Balancing Show. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and this show is being brought to you by TJN, the Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, bringing you the sciences of life and living on the Jewel Network. And so we are talking about sleep today. Yes, sorry, day four scientific articles. I have a couple for you, and so we're going to talk about sleep. And, of course, we all know that sleep does affect us in many, many different ways. We really are still searching for what's ideal. How much sleep should I get? How much do I not need? Am I oversleeping, undersleeping? Do I really sleep at all? I toss and turn at night. I have to get up to eliminate. My mind is so busy. My brain is so busy. I have all kinds of thoughts coming to my mind. You know, what is becoming of me? And we have a lot of different variables that we have to look at. So I'm going to cite some interesting information to you, a couple things you probably haven't heard, but it's getting very interesting now with all of this excess light that planet Earth is being exposed to. Many of you probably began to notice over 10 years ago that we don't have a black sky anymore. Okay, even when we're really, really out into the woods, we don't have a dark, dark sky anymore. Okay, so therefore, we recognize our solar system has moved into a different location in space. We've moved into an area of our solar system that is emanating much more light, so we are not having the dark, dark skies as we used to, and that also is affecting our hormonal cycles. So many of you are familiar with Mel and Sarah. Sarah and Mel, you want to remember that. Serotonin, okay, which is a hormone for daytime physiological and brain activities, and Mel, the abbreviation for melatonin, for night. And these two hormones are directly affected by the amount of light that the body is exposed to. Now, people are still talking about just the eye, what goes into the eye, but as I've said, if you look at the embryological origin of many of the organs of the body, you would be surprised how many aspects and organs of the body are literally directly part of the brain. And one of those major organs, the largest organ of the body, that is also directly evolved embryologically from brain tissue is the skin. So many times you want to think about the fact that, oh, well, if, you know, light's not getting into our eye, then we are literally taking really good care of our brain. No. You have to also be able to cover the skin. And that's why we request that when you do go to sleep and you want to maximize the amount of melatonin, you must be in a completely dark room unless you totally cover the body, because the skin literally is a extension of the brain. So now, just with that, we could have a whole conversation on the many skin problems that people are having and why. So the cosmetics, the fabrics that are put on the skin, I did a little research on different fabrics. I was amazed. There's a whole, in textiles, the textiles are very interesting. So of course, we like how they look on our clothes, and and furniture and things like that, but when you really study that, that is a high science, very interesting science, in how we have two main categories, synthetic and natural textiles, and then those also have subdivisions as to where they come from, either animal or if they come from plant or if they literally are a mixture. It's amazing. You know, I just decided that I wanted to do a little study on how silk was made. Amazing. So many of you recognize that it is actually the fiber that comes from a moth that is in the process of literally spinning its cocoon so that it could go into its metamorphic state, chrysalis state, and then obviously erupt out of the cocoon to be a moth. Well, I didn't know that the moth aspect of the silkworm is never actualized because the cocoon itself literally is the silk. And so they don't want the moth to literally cut the silk fiber with its little special teeth that it has. Well, they're not really teeth, but pinchers. And so therefore, they literally destroy the moth prior to its eruption out of the cocoon. And then it goes through a whole different process, et cetera. So I was like, wow, you know, this is just amazing. I mean, the pictures, it's just amazing. And, you know, we just kind of take these things for granted. However, the point that I'm making here is that when we talk about protecting and taking good care of the brain, we don't associate that with also the skin. And I can tell you one of the main issues that people are really noticing, and they're not really making the correlation, is that if you are having problems with skin losing its elasticity, losing its thickness, you know, we are not really thin skinned people, and we don't talk about having thin skin from a perception of health. So there should be a thickness there with oils and fat and, you know, glandular activity, most of all blood vessel permeation, as well as lymphatic integration, the nerves literally through the skin. So the skin has a healthy thickness, and when it starts getting very thin, and one of the main cues here is that when it starts losing its pigment. And so even in individuals who are melanin recessive, they still can have death occur of the melanocyte or inactivity, where even the skin will appear as a blotch that has a much more paler cast to it. So it looks actually like a splotch on skin, but it's just pale skin with a white splotch on it. Those splotches are not healthy, and I see them. I used to see them so often in my practice, especially on the fronts of the legs, on the arms, on the thighs. And further research revealed that this is actually showing a real imbalance that is happening in the brain. But remember, the skin is the most outer extension of your nervous system, and so therefore a lot of issues that are going on in the brain will be demonstrated on the skin. So you've got to become much more selective about what you're doing to that skin, but in regards to sleep, to rest well, you've got to also cloak the outermost manifestation of the nervous system, which is also the skin. Now, I think it's very interesting because those people who really understand and appreciate light and appreciate sun exposure, light exposure, one of the main things that they always have in their wardrobe is a full cloak. Okay, they have a cloak that literally goes all the way to the floor, totally covers their body, and is also hooded. And the hood is so deep that it literally shields the face so that these individuals can control the amount of light that goes into the brain at any particular time for particular reasons. Now, this is high science that we're talking here now, and most people do not understand the influence that light has and especially in consciousness when an individual knows how to be able to move around the brain. So I talk about this a lot for those individuals who are actually enrolled into the Dr. Jewel Balancing Program, because this is the neuroanatomy, the neurobiology that I provide for them, really requesting them to learn it so they can understand how to treat this fabulous organ that they are now maturing and developing with the use of sacred geometry. And so we talk about these things in regard to what can happen to the body when the consciousness can literally move to different areas of the brain and literally sit there. So it's no different than you moving to another room in your house. You just walk to that room, and so maybe there's a hallway that you have to take and a left turn or a right turn, or maybe you have to climb some stairs or you have to descend downstairs. The point is your body can move to different rooms in the house if it is healthy, feet, et cetera. And if you are taught properly, your awareness can also move to different circuits of the brain, different locations of the brain, and you literally can then direct the body from this particular circuit, and each circuit has specific characteristics and capabilities. So finally, in the neurosciences and the neurobiology, they're finally being able to convince themselves that that really is the case, because, you know, they have SPECT scans now and MRIs, and so they can literally see what they call hot spots, or very active areas of the brain when people are doing particular things in consciousness. A virtuoso pianist, et cetera, or an individual who's an incredible operatic instrument, an opera singer that really knows how to use the vocal cords, the breath, the rib cage, the spine, and the pelvis to be able to hit particular frequencies, you should see what goes on in their brain electromagnetically. And it is very different than the individual who may be sitting there watching them, or a mathematician, etc. But when she or he is at their height of being able to hit those notes, they move to an area of the brain and consciousness that actually makes the entire body an instrument. It's incredible. So, yes, for us to be able to be spectacular in any particular thing that we want to do, there's an area of the brain that avails that capability to the body based on our thinking and desire to execute that. And so, therefore, learning how to move and get around the brain is imperative once you've bridged the gap. So we have a presentation that we used to do all the time that shows an individual that says, okay, well, this is what I want to do. And he recognizes that, okay, I need to move to this particular area of my brain. And then he gets to the edge of the right hemisphere, and he recognizes that based on what he wants to do, he needs to be in the left hemisphere of his brain. But he looks at this huge chasm down the middle of his brain. And we depicted it as the Grand Canyon. How are you going to get across the Grand Canyon to the other side? So this is what he has to figure out. How am I going to get to the other side of my brain where that particular circuit is, because that's where I need to be to do what I've decided I want to do. And, of course, we know for a fact that sacred geometry applied to the nervous system causes neurogenesis, and that is that the neurons literally start to growing and developing and extending themselves. And not only do they extend themselves unilaterally, that is on the same side that the neuron may be present, but it also extends laterally to the extent that now we start having scaffolding form. And over time, that longitudinal fissure literally diminishes in depth, and it gets more shallow, shallower, 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 until now we have a whole brain, literally. Now, many of my colleagues, you know, they may be freaked out about that because they're still back in the 1940s and 50s still trying to comprehend what's happening here. They finally got it. They recognize that the brain changes shape, but they still don't even understand why that happened. But you just keep listening to Dr. Jewel Balancing Show. We'll bring you up to date on all of that. But the point is that it's for you to decide that you want to be a whole brain person. And once you make that decision, you can dissolve that longitudinal fissure down the middle of your brain permanently. So there are many organizations that can offer you technologies that will cause the frequency from the left and the right hemisphere of the brain to equalize itself, but that is not permanent, and also it does not cause tissue growth that literally now brings about a unification in tissue between the right and the left hemisphere of the brain. So geometry does all of this. Geometry is the template that creates all of reality. The room that you're sitting in, the chair that you may be sitting upon, the car that you're driving, pencil or pen that's in your hand, look at it. It's a geometric template of either a line, a square, a circle, or what we call fractals of these geometries. But this is what we're dealing with. So how do we take care of this brain relative to sleep? Well, how much sleep does it really need? And that also is determined by how well you can get around the brain. Now, you probably won't read this yet, but it will be brought to your attention that when you are able to move your consciousness from one area of the brain to another, that will also determine how much rest the brain needs, because there are particular areas of the brain that literally are like a respite area, and they have neuropeptides and neurochemicals in those particular areas of the brain that, when stimulated, will be released to renew all the cells while they are still actively functioning. So in the insect world, organized insects do this to each other. When they meet each other, they greet them and each other, you know, share information, and they then offer them nutrition. So many of the social insects have nutrients. They either have sacs on them or either they have areas of the mouth that they carry nutrients in that are for that reason, to share with other insects to revitalize them. Well, we have the same process in our brain. And so that's why some people really don't need any sleep at all. And interesting, many techniques that will allow you to access these areas of the brain that will renew the carried nourishment and renewal of peptides. You can access them by hitting particular brainwave frequencies. And therefore, this is released into the brain. You're still very much aware, conscious, and the whole brain is renewed, and then you can move forward. So even some information I've read that talks about beings that have been able to live 500, 600, 700 years, they really don't sleep. They basically are able to go into a state where the body physically is inactive, but they're very much conscious and can renew their brain upon bequest and just move forward. So with that said, that lets you know then that depending upon who you are, what you know about your brain, your relationship with it literally will determine how much sleep you really need. So for those individuals who still are not aware or have not decided to take full ownership of the body and become what we talk about in the balancing program, a cyber being. Cyber means to steer or to navigate, to pilot. It's Greek. So if you have not decided that you want to become a cyber being, that is, that you're taking control of your body, then it is important for you to listen to this information. So it appears as though also to my sponsors want to whisper something to you before I get busy. So I'll be right back after this message.
The rapidly evolving face of the 21st century is requiring us to upgrade our physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual bodies in order to keep pace with the energetic changes around us. DiamondLightWorld.com provides you with a collection of energy tools and technology to assist you in regenerating your body, enabling your mind, as well as activating and strengthening your presence and purpose so that you can achieve greater manifestation of your divine goals in this lifetime. Julie Umpleby, a scientist and the founder of Diamond Light World, offers you specialized and personal Diamond Light Grid activations and alignments, focused meditations, home study programs for personal diamond matrix development, and much more. Visit www.diamondlightworld.com for further information on how you can step up to and into your highest potential.
Well, welcome. If you're just tuning in, welcome to the Jewel Balancing Program. I'm your host, Dr. Jewel, and this show is being brought to you by the Jewel Network, justifiably enchanted with enlightened living, bringing you the sciences of light and living on the Jewel Network, TJN. So we've been talking about sleep. Eventually, and you just tuned in time because we're going into the full discussion of that. But prior to you coming, we were talking about something very important that people really are still not totally aware of, that the skin is a direct extension of the brain. And so when we talk about modulating the hormones in the brain responsible for the daytime-nighttime cycle, responding to light and then changing the functions of the internal organs of the body, the skin also plays a very important role in that. Sarah and Mel, serotonin, daytime activity, elimination cycles, etc., melatonin for production of growth hormones, for the production of pineal neurochemistry, that are responsible for dream states and for allowing the consciousness to move to other areas of the brain at nighttime, because the frequencies of light have diminished. So, in essence, we talked about the value of a cloak or the value of a dark room to be able to totally cover the skin, or to make sure that the skin is not exposed to light when we decide that we do want to sleep and we do want melatonin and serotonin to reach their proper concentrations in the brain. At nighttime, melatonin is secreted by the pineal gland and the pituitary, and serotonin is activated by light into the brain and on the skin. So when we want to go to sleep, we want to diminish the amount of light exposure into the eye, which is directly into the brain, as well as on the skin. And that is one of the main things that will help an individual to sleep. So again, how much sleep does a person really need? Well, that's still up for grabs. And there are many universities and teaching hospitals that do have sleep institutes to try to come to a consensus of what that's like. And it's still going to be rather difficult for them to really make some clear-cut decisions until they recognize that individuals, depending upon what they think and their accessibility to their own brain, is going to really determine how much sleep that individual will need. Many people who've been meditating for a very long time 3.5 to 4 hours of sleep is maximum that they need. And they're never anxious, they're never angry, they don't have hyper-emotional states, et cetera, very calm. And just for 4 hours of sleep, they can do that. But, again, they meditate throughout the day. And meditation seems to be a brainwave frequency that allows these areas of the brain that have nutrients stored in them to renew the brain's cells while they are active to be released. And so they'll be talking about that probably in the next 3 to 4 years that they discovered these areas of the brain that are like outposts that have nutrients that do nothing but flow through the micro intraneuronal circulation of the brain to just help to replenish the neurons of the brain. Interesting. So this is a very interesting gentleman. I like how he writes. His name is Robin Lloyd, and he writes for a nice, interesting magazine called Live Science. And he's the senior editor, and so he's commented on the fact that a lot of Americans don't think that they really get enough sleep and that they are sleep deprived. And he said that that really may not be the case. However, he suspects that because they probably thought that they were sleep deprived and probably needed more sleep, that they began to ingest, quote, sleeping pills, unquote. And therefore, as a result of taking the sleeping pills, that they've actually begin to initiate some significant disorders, not only in the brain, but in other areas of the body. So he talks about the fact that these sleeping pills have been recommended for perceived insomnia, individuals grinding their teeth, jet lag, restlessness, jerky leg syndrome, snoring, and also sleepwalking. Conventional medicine has resorted to literally medicating these individuals, and that has really brought into the area of sleep apnea, or should I say sleeplessness, insomnia, quite a few problems. So he did something really cute. He says, okay, that in the research that he studied, et cetera, there are five factors that you really want to take into consideration for you to really get it about what sleep is about. So his first factor is we sleep better than we think we do. So he says that, you know, this concept of sleep deprivation is really a myth, and that we aren't really walking zombies. However, there have been institutions that have literally use this kind of information to get a large population of people perceiving that they need a sleep aid. So it's interesting. He says that the average U.S. citizen gets about 7 hours a night of sleep, and supposedly we are told that that's not enough. But a University of Maryland study earlier this year, 2012, shows that we typically get 8 hours and are doing fine with that. And in fact, he said Americans get just as much sleep nowadays as they did 40 years ago, the study indicates. So he said that if there is to be a variation in the amount of sleep you get, that the second factor to know is that it appears is that the older you get, the less sleep you need. And we also know that if you are a meditator, and, for example, individuals who practice the Dr. Jewel Balancing Program and are using sacred geometry to stimulate neural genesis of the nervous system, that is, the neurons are growing as well as the dendrites, and the brain is integrating itself, needs also less sleep. So he goes on to say here that the research suggests that it's a time when we restore vital biological processes and also sort at CNET memory. However, Last year, the World Health Organization determined that night shift workers who can, which can lead to sleep trouble, is a probable human carcinogen. So I've always believed that, that people who work at night definitely can look forward to cancer quite early in their life. However, he says that on the upside, the latest research suggests that we need less sleep when we do get older. Now, his third factor, which I thought was interesting, he extracted from Thomas Edison. He says that this practice of multiple shorter sleep sessions nightly rather than one long one are an option, and it appears to basically work well with the body. So this so-called polyphasic sleep is what we see in babies and also the elderly and other animals. So Thomas Edison was reported to be one of these practitioners where he took naps in the daytime, et cetera, and even though he was up for long periods at nighttime, it didn't seem to be a problem for him. But again, for the rest of us, it's more realistic and healthy to sleep at night as best we can and then take naps as needed. So the electroencephalogram taken of individuals who practice biphasic sleep did show that they had two alertness dips, and that one was at nighttime and one was at midday. So therefore, he thought it was significant that many of these places that have workers there for long periods of time should have nap rooms set up. So therefore, they can support their employees, especially if they need to really be alert because they are performing highly technical tasks. So he goes on to say here that NASA does this and that they use this training for polyphasic sleep with their astronauts, and they do keep nap rooms available for that. Now, I wanted to say a little more about this, and I think I'll interject this right after number three here. Okay, now, number one again, we sleep better than we think we do. Number two, we need less sleep as we age. Number three, you can sleep like a baby or the Thomas Edison method by taking naps throughout the day that allows you to stay up longer at night, but we set up two major sleep patterns called polyphasic sleep. Now, one of the things that's very interesting also that isn't discussed normally is that they are literally are four major vacillations of energy movement through the body. And in the Native American tradition, these are called the natural. And the onset of how energy moves into the body is regulated with the first breath you take once your body exits the vagina. That first breath you take sets in a whole cycle of how energy is going to flow through the body. And it's very interesting that when you take that first breath, you are literally at the base low of that energy cycle because you haven't had to breathe ever until you were stimulated to do so once you moved into an environment dominated by air. So you're at the lowest phase of that energy cycle because it wasn't necessary. You were getting all the energy needed from your mother's blood, et cetera, as it literally diffused across the placenta. So now you've got to start generating energy on your own. So this is what we call your natural low. So very interesting because we recognize that the time of your birth indicates your natural low, and then there's a vacillation, there's a sine wave that occurs every 6 hours from the time of your birth. So therefore, the very opposite of the time of your birth, 12 hours later, is your natural high. And we have then 4, cycles of energy movement. Your natural low, which is 6 hours, your medium low, you have your medium high, and then you have your high. So in the Native American tradition, it is a requirement for each and every individual of the tribe to chart out and identify their natural energy cycle. So therefore, the individual knows how to literally govern their activity based on the amount of energy they know they naturally will have available to the tissues of the body. So obviously, a person who may be born at 10 p.m. is not going to basically have a lot of energy to want to run and exercise, et cetera, from 10 p.m. up until 4 a.m., okay? They're going to definitely want to sleep. They definitely do not want to be disturbed at that time because that's their low. So this individual would not be one that you would find in the gym, okay, at 4 or 5 a.m. No, you wouldn't. So, however, going to the gym at 11 o'clock because now at 10 a.m., that is their natural high. At noon, they would love to be able to exercise at that point, and they would do very well because that is their natural high. And if you properly do the survey of the individuals who were in there and really enjoyed working out around noontime, et cetera, their birth time would be somewhere between 10 to 12 hours prior to the time that they're in the gym. So then you have your medium high and your medium low, and these are cycles that allow you to literally wind down, okay, a particular project that you may have started in your high, or literally to begin to prepare yourself to enter into a activity that you want to do well in when you start moving into the medium low, because then you'll then go into your medium high. So these things have yet to be recognized by conventional medicine, and many people have to figure it out on their own. I finally figured it out that based on my birth time and how my energy is vacillated through the day, numbers, my access to numbers in my brain, which is inferior, anterior, prefrontal cortex, usually above but behind the eye kind of, this little lateral rim here, is where we call the digit or number area of the brain. I don't access that really well after 4 p.m., and I figured that out finally after making some crazy decisions that, you know, if I had made this decision, you know, much earlier in the day or read the contract, et cetera, it would have been really clear that it was crazy. But not recognizing what I could execute best in my high, medium low, low, until I figured it out, it really cut down on making crazy decisions. And a lot of people, they live their whole life very concerned about their decision-making capacity. They live their whole life being very concerned about that. So I think that it's very important that these things be brought to your attention. And it looks as though my sponsor is being here that wants to say something, but I want to make that known that you've got to learn your naturals and to learn how those cycles flow and the capabilities that you'll have when you understand how those energies flow until you can become a cyber being, then you can regulate and rechannel those energies at will. So I'll be right back after this message, and we'll finish up with this. I'll be right back.
From Jewel Publications, Straight from the Heart by Dr. Jewel Pookrum. An incredible volume of work, Dr. Jewel explores the genesis of disease, prostate health, and sexuality, as well as sharing a new look at the effects emotions play in the resolution of cancer. Straight from the Heart is an outpouring of wisdom that you will read over again. Get your paperback or ebook copy today.
Well, Well, greetings. If you're just tuning in, we've been talking about sleep, how much sleep you need. It depends on you and how your dexterity with how to use the brain and how you can move your consciousness around, if you're practicing the balancing program, if you're meditating, and how you're able to control light moving in and out of the brain via the eye, as well as the body coming and the skin coming in contact with light. So this is an interesting show. I think you should listen to the archives, because I want to move on, because we have two more tips that I think are very important for you to be aware of. So now, interesting. Topic number four is that animals exhibit a range of sleep habits. So some animals need almost 9 to 6 hours of sleep nightly. Dolphins, for example, and interesting, killer whales, they don't sleep for their entire first month after birth. Isn't that interesting? However, we do need some sleep until you've really retrained the brain and taken over and reprogrammed the neural pathways to be able to have easy access to those self-nurturing areas in the brain. And that's essentially what we're going to be able to do, so that you don't have to sleep much at all. You can just go into state, usually somewhere down in Delta, and be able to, in consciousness, access those areas of the brain that release nutrients through the microcirculation of the brain, so that all areas are nourished, even though you're conscious, and then move into the higher frequencies of the brain wave and back to business. And then finally, there's a little list here of good night sleep tips that you want to be aware of. Number five, which is, note this now, go to bed at the same time nightly. One, two, set aside enough time to hit that golden 7 hours of sleep. Okay, so until you learn these other special mechanisms I've talked about, you want to just kind of think about 7 hours of sleep. Again, those of you who are on the balancing program, you'll notice that that is going to naturally decrease. Number three, please refrain from caffeine, heavy or spicy foods, and alcohol and other optional medications that might keep you awake 4 to 6 hours before bedtime. Number four, have a pre-sleep routine so you wind down before you hop into the bed. Now, this is very important, and for those of you who really want to learn how to move around the brain and consciousness, or for you all who really want to be able to access higher frequencies, build your telepathic capabilities, your telekinetic capabilities, your remote viewing capabilities, you must prepare the body for bed. You just do not want to just be active, 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 and then all of a sudden you just collapse into bed. You want to prepare the body. Usually, again, putting the nervous system to sleep, okay, it's very important to quiet it down. So a nice shower, or either just a sponge bath to sponge the skin off, because, again, this is an extension of the brain. Quiet the brain down, and also it quiets the nerves throughout the skin. So it quiets it down. All right. Brushing the hair also will do this. Then applying a really nice oil to the skin, because the skin then will now get a chance to reabsorb its nutrients. The sebaceous glands can release themselves, et cetera, now, because you've taken the hyperkeratotic skin off the surface of the dermis. And so usually using a really nice oil, a really clean cosmetic on the skin, on the face, that allows the skin and the nerves therein to also regenerate. Making sure that the bed is really comfortable. And I tell you, I think that the Sleep Number bed is right on, okay? It is right on because it removes and diminishes the pressure point along the rib cage, along the spine, along the pelvis, on the heels, okay, and on the back of the head. And these areas that are not supported properly and have either too much pressure or not enough definitely can keep the nervous system on alert, because then the muscles have to then go to work all night to take up the slack for the lack of support in these particular dominant areas. So investing in a really great mattress. I did some research on mattresses. I couldn't believe it. There's a mattress called the Duxana. Duxana mattress. That bad boy cost over $10,000. I was like, wow, that is amazing. But it is all made by hand. Okay, and they only make X amount a year, and how they stuff it and everything. It still has springs in it. And, you know, having springs in your bed is a whole different story. But I just thought it was just amazing that this is like the Rolls Royce of mattresses. Duxana. And so you just, out of curiosity, may want to know about that. So bed mattresses, they do make a difference. The best mattress I found next to Sleep Number, Mother Earth. It's an incredible mattress. I never forget it. And most people in the city are just so distracted from understanding how really great soil. It's really interesting about really great soil, not a whole bunch of clay and mud and that kind of thing, but really great soil, it shifts underneath you, et cetera, how it disperses the body heat and everything. It is amazing, very, very comfortable. And with the Dual-Teen mattress of grass, amazing suite. But most people in the city don't allow themselves to have that privilege, but you want to take advantage of that if you can. Try not to sleep, though, on grass that's treated with pesticides. And obviously, please diminish the light in your room. No TV, no radiant radios and alarms, et cetera, that have the diode lights on them. You don't want any of that in the room. Okay. Rooms, your bedroom should literally be for sleeping. I see some offices, say, for sleeping and sex, but definitely you want all the light gizmos and even a lot of mirrors in the actual bedroom are not healthy because they reflect the light. And definitely no exercise before bed because that then really exaggerates the nervous system, et cetera, into a whole new level of functionality. So, sleep, we're still learning. That's the bottom line. But we know one thing is that for those individuals who have integrated the neurons of the brain, have diminished the longitudinal fissure down the center of the brain because they fully developed the corpus callosum and have started the process of lateral integration and extension of the neurons and the dendrites of the neurons, their sleep patterns will change. They do change. They become less, more alert, much more stable. And what's so great is that less sleep, but they're not agitated. Less sleep, they're not angry. Less sleep, they can still mentate and do high brain processing because they have so many more neurons that are communicating, so many more axons that have reached into, you know, the far reaches of the brain that allow them to now have this neurochemical dexterity that really stabilizes and brings a harmony into the brain at a new level that, again, my colleagues still have yet to view. So with all of us continuing to balance our brain and bring our neighbors in and our friends that we love, our children, et cetera, then we're going to change the sciences because now they're going to have to redefine all these statements they've made because people that have balanced brains with genuine neural integration, neural growth and development, dendritic spiny protuberance integration, this is the dendrites off of the neurons, they're going to have to redefine what's going on in the brain. And I'm just excited about that. I love my brain. It's incredible. I love your brain. And I really want you to learn how to take care of it. And the first thing to do is to completely develop it and re-engineer it. And the Dr. Jewel Balance Program does that with the Universal Template, Sacred Geometry. So one more thing before we go here, it's getting close, and I wanted to bring this to your attention. This is so important. I've used this for years with my patients, and it has brought